Susan Sontag, a true American intellectual, died today at the age of 71. Though she won a National Book Award in 2000 for her historical novel, In America, she was best known for critical essays. Her intellect and zeal for serious thought led her on an exploration of topics that range from photography to pornography to dance and death. She died of leukemia in New York City. Steve Wasserman is editor of the Los Angeles Times Book Review. He knew Sontag not only through her writing, but as a personal friend of 30 years. He joins us now from his office in Los Angeles. Steve, thanks very much for joining us today.
I would say it's a pleasure, but the occasion is a very sad one.
And our condolences on the loss of your friend. As a book editor, what was it about her or her writing that made her so influential, do you think?
Well, Susan Sontag, in her writing as well as in her life, was the very model of a modern major intellectual. She was exemplary in the capaciousness of her enthusiasms, in her ardent admirations, and her engagement with the issues of our day. Her interests were more than what she ever found time to write about. She was devoted to the opera, to dance, to painting, and to be in her presence was to be in the presence of one who just couldn't stop absorbing the wonderful life around her. She had a tremendous lust for life, and it was communicated to all who she came in contact with.
I guess her reputation started to be made with the essay On Camp.
Yes, The Notes on Camp, which was written for the Partisan Review and was published to considerable acclaim in 1964 and was included in her first collection of essays entitled Against Interpretation 2 years later.
Mm-hmm. Then photography, so many other subjects.
She was someone of profound intelligence and moral seriousness who took words very seriously. What perhaps wasn't as well known and didn't perhaps shine through in her writing but was evident in her life was she was a person of great humor, of infectious joy, and great generosity, too. I mean, I'll never forget having met her just graduating from the University of California at Berkeley, she taking my hand, us strolling down Telegraph Avenue and walking into that marvelous secondhand shop, Moe's Books, mm-hmm. She plucking down one book after another from the shelves and turning to me and with great passion saying, "Have you read this? Have you read that?" And I, much to my embarrassment and humiliation, saying, no, I've never heard of it, thinking I had wasted my entire college education. That never stopped over the course of the next 3 decades.
Hmm. And I would think that she would have looked at you with a degree of envy, passing along a book that knew would thrill you.
Well, I don't know if it was envy so much. I mean, she just couldn't keep her enthusiasms to herself, and she was a great rereader of things that she loved. I mean, one of the books that I recall her taking down was by a late 19th century Brazilian writer named Machado de Assis, who had written a book called Epitaph of a Small Winner, full of wit and irony, a book that could have been written perhaps by some postmodernist like Donald Bartlemy over the last 40 years, but which was instead written in the hothouse culture of Catholic Portuguese society in Brazil. She was a great discoverer of other works from other countries.
Her essays were remarkable for their clarity and their rigor. Did she think like that in person?
Yes. Susan was someone who spoke in complete paragraphs with a wonderfully modulated voice, very, very rich, very affecting, whose thoughtfulness came through in every sentence that she uttered. She also suffered fools not at all. She was impatient with spinmeisters, and she was a great disciple, I would say, of George Orwell. She had little tolerance for any abuse of the English language, and she wanted to call a thing by its proper name, whether in the political realm or in the aesthetic realm.
Of her own work, what was she proudest of?
She was most proud of her novels and her fiction, which, sad to say, probably most critics of her work think she'll probably be best remembered for her essays. But over the course of her career, she had grown. In some ways, I would say she had outgrown her essays and found that the conceit of fiction enabled her to inhabit multiple voices and to argue multiple ideas without ever having to come to a single position. I think she felt over time that the idea that in a particular essay that the author had to be, as it were, hostage to a particular point of view, she found it confining, and fiction gave a much more capacious arena to explore the literary dimension, which was her first and true and enduring love.
Steve Wasserman, again, condolences on the loss of your friend, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Steve Wasserman, editor of the Los Angeles Times Book Review, joined us on the phone from his office in Los Angeles. Susan Sontag died today in New York City at the age of 71. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.